Why don't you, because I think a lot of people, since you are a social media manager, is that your...
Yeah, so when I was hired, it was for social media manager. I still do that, but now I'm also the content strategist, which I think there's a, you know, it's not really an accurate dichotomy between, you know, offline or non-social content and social media content, but in my title there is one. So yeah. I'm kind of the strategist for the non-social content, like white papers and things like that as well now.
Okay. So, yeah, just kind of walk us through, if you don't mind, just like, what's your, as close as you can get to typical day as possible, just like, what do you do? Because I think a lot of people, you've got a position that they would love to have and they'd love to know more about. Like, for example, somebody that's coming out of college, what do I need to, if I was going to be a social media manager at a major company, what would my job look like? What are some of the responsibilities, that type of thing?
Sure. Well, I think there are kind of two divergent paths that are, you know, very much interrelated now, but you can definitely draw a line between community managers and social media managers, and they're called many different things. Generally, when you have a lot of internally facing, or rather client-facing activity, and clients are talking amongst each other in things like forums, and you are kind of managing that, facilitating that conversation, usually you're going to have kind of a high number of clients, like someone like Cisco or something. It's going to have, you know, thousands upon thousands of clients. They're going to have enough activity that just managing the conversations between their clients and making them richer is kind of a job in and of itself. And that would be more of a community manager.
Right.
I don't really do that. In B2B, it's a little less important sometimes. I'm more focused on getting our message out externally. It's still client-facing, but it's also prospect-facing. And as you know, you've been here at Bizarre Voice. We've got a lot of fans, a lot of job seekers, people that really like our culture. So we are, you know, trying to juggle all those groups and create content that is appealing to all of them. So I consider myself more of a social media manager, and that is in my title. So what I'll do in my typical day is, of course, I think I'd like to say I check the Twitter stream first thing, and usually I do, but that's kind of a cop-out, actually. in your presentation, you talked about how, I forget what company it is, but they left a crisis over the weekend.
Motrin,
right. So they let it happen, and it spiraled out of control because they took a weekend. Interestingly, that's when a lot of social media managers go home, obviously. So what happens is, I think it was Dan Zarella had an interesting study where the most popular content for HubSpot's clients was actually on the weekends. But that didn't correspond to when they were posting, when these brands were posting, because weekends are when people take off work. So that's a long way of saying I think it's a 24-hour job sometimes. And although I do, of course, check the messages, check mentions when I get in, run some analyses, I'm constantly plugged in. So my morning is generally involved with doing that. I am kind of an internal consultant as well, so I'll have meetings with people that want to bring new content into the world.
Yeah.
And my job is to help them align it with you know, our company values, of course, our messaging, if there's a current campaign we can tie it to, and of course customer needs and expectations, our product roadmap. So I'm just kind of pulling on these levers and shaping the content, really optimizing it so that it is the best possible content for our current context.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really focusing on right now, and I don't try to differentiate between blog content, videos, white papers, it's all the same to me. Of course, you have to optimize them differently, but they should all really have the same goals if you're a customer-centric company.
So it's almost like you've got all these people that are like coming up with like skunk works, and they're like, hey, I've got this cool idea around social, and they'll run it by you, and you'll say, yeah, we can do that, or maybe not the way you intended, maybe if we tweak it a little bit, that type of thing.
Yeah, a lot of it is almost like translation. I actually don't know any foreign languages, but if anyone out there's talked to a data analyst, they'll know that it's pretty hard to translate sometimes what they're really excited about and the things that they want to talk about into language that your customers use. And that's part of my job is I don't have any formal data analytics training or anything like that, but I've learned while being here how to kind of speak their language, speak the language of our customers and prospects and fans, and try to make content that appeals to both groups. It's going to be data heavy enough, rich enough, that there's some interesting findings in there. It's going to withstand data, you know, scrutiny from other data analysts externally.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it has to speak to the people that we're trying to speak to, and they're not all data analysts.
Yeah.
So that's a good example of where I'm kind of trying to shape the content without weakening it.
Yeah, it sounds like it goes beyond just understanding the client's customers, but you've also got to understand your coworkers and understand the languages they're speaking, how to get not only understand the points they're trying to make, but also how to make your point to them so that they understand it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't mind, talk a little bit about how you got your job here, because I thought it was pretty interesting and pretty innovative, the approaches you took.
Sure. The story starts in an interesting place for me. It really starts outside of a cell phone kiosk at the local mall here, right down the street. That's where I had an interview. In early 2010, I wore my best suit, which happened to be my only suit. It was my only suit, too. And I thought I nailed it. And what actually happened is I never even got a rejection call. They didn't even have the courtesy to do that. So I opened my eyes to the fact that maybe sales wasn't for me personally anymore. That's what I had been doing since I graduated college with at that time, useless political science degree. I didn't want to do that. It was 2007, very beginning of the recession. Worst time since the Depression to graduate from college.
Yep.
So I had to find an alternate path. Resumes just weren't working for any of my friends. The skills that they learned in business school, the skills that traditionally have worked for a lot of people, just weren't working. And I think really, they'll never work again.
Yeah.
So I had to find something else. So kind of at the depths of my job-seeking misery, I found a blog post on Bad Pitch Blog, which is about PR. It was about a really interesting job seeker named Grant Turk. And what he did was take out a Facebook ad and use some of Facebook's targeting features to target the companies he wanted to work for,
right,
and the roles, the management levels that he wanted to appeal to as well. He knew that it made probably more sense to go over the heads of the recruiters and try to get right in front of the executives that actually send the checks.
Yeah.
So he used some interesting methods for that. I actually gave him a call, and he was happy to walk me through it, and I kind of built on that and optimized that. Bizarre Voice and a few other companies, less than five, were the companies I wanted to work for. I put a picture of a much skinnier, younger me up in my ad. And
so it's like you're dating this company.
Exactly. I went ahead and did that, and then kind of sat back and watched the clicks come through. And at first it was blog comments from well-wishers, which even that was really exciting to see, even though it cost me, I don't know, 10 cents a click. And then it was a couple emails coming through my contact form in my blog. And I forgot to mention, I did a special page on my blog that was kind of like a CV, but written specifically for the people that clicked on this Facebook ad.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew that they at least were social and got a little bit of social.
Right.
So it kind of appealed to that. The emails that started to come through and the contact for the submissions were actually from not employers yet, but people that were in with some employers that they knew were looking to hire for these types of positions. Then I got a couple of offers for consulting work that sustained me for a while I really tried to focus on taking the best offer possible. And eventually those offers came in. It was weird how it worked like that, where it was like kind of the lowest commitment possible at first, with people well-wishing, And then eventually, I had about 5 offers on the table.
So what's the time frame we're talking here?
It was within a month.
Wow.
Yeah. And total, I spent less than $200.
Wow.
Interestingly, Bizarre Voice, I had interviewed for a position, not got it. This position I have now. and on paper, I probably wasn't well-suited for it, honestly. I had absolutely zero marketing experience on paper. Yeah. But they saw, thank God, that I could market myself in exactly the kind of way that they wanted to market their company through this social media management position. And that that ended up being really cool, because what happened was they actually, a couple people from Bizarre Voice contacted me after they saw the Facebook ad. But Sam Decker, our former CMO, he got a Google alert because I blogged about how I actually didn't get the job at Bizarre Voice and how I was just really excited that they even, you know, considered me and trying to be very grateful. Of course, I was a little disappointed. But he got that Google alert, got an email sent to him for the word Bizarre Voice, which I've kind of inherited that role. And then he told the recruiters to give me another call and bring me in. And 4 interviews later in a test presentation, I got the job.
Wow. And that was total $200.
$200.
Over like a month.
Yep. And it was my last $200, so I was glad.
I'm just curious because this, as I was hearing this, I was harking back to how I got started consulting too. But you said you got a couple of consulting offers as well from that?
Yeah.
What was the deal that people were assuming that since you were using Facebook that you knew?
Yeah, they felt like, just like Bizarre Voice did, that I was demonstrating my expertise just in the way I was job seeking. I mean, I think it lines up really well when you happen to be looking for a social media type position.
Yep.
But I think any kind of marketing position, even an accounting position, anything that just shows that you're using ingenuity, thinking outside the box, Seth Godin would say poking the box. These are things that all employers should value. And if they don't, frankly, you probably don't want to work for them.
Right.
So
it's really your whole process was also kind of like you're eliminating potential companies that you probably wouldn't want to work for anyway. I mean, only the really smart ones are going to be the ones that are going to respond. So that's kind of your way of kind of like narrowing down the pond.
Exactly. In my mind, after that really disheartening experience not getting an offer from a cell phone kiosk, what I was doing in part was eliminating the chance that I would kind of accept an offer like that. I was almost screening out the kind of companies like that that wouldn't give two cents about the kind of ingenuity that I thought, at least, I was demonstrating.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said earlier, I basically copied Grant Turk. And what was funny is when I got on the phone with him, he told me the same thing. He didn't remember who it was, but he saw another blog post. So no ideas are new under the sun.
Yeah, he hadn't. Okay, that's interesting.
It's just, it's more important that you take a good idea and build on it and optimize it. And I think I did a lot of stuff that Grant didn't. I certainly got a job faster than he did. And then whoever took my idea, and I got a lot of, some of the well-wishers were job seekers themselves, I know that they did a better job than I ever did and probably got a job within days, you know, not a month.
Yeah.
So that's really important, is to keep building on it.